see me today. I hope you come to entertain the presence of the Lord that is here today. Amen. But as Brother Paul was here this morning, and before he opened up, he said, "What we all need to do is we just lift our hands and repent." And I thought, man, that sort of sets the tone, because we want God to move, and we want to send out pouring of the Holy Ghost, but we forget to repent. We forget to die out. We forget to empty ourselves so God can pour into us. And he began to talk about God then wants to fill us. He wants to put something into you. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It's the hope of glory that is in you this morning. And God just doesn't want to get you half full, but he wants you to overflow. And sometimes we can become comfortable where we're at. And we can miss out on the greatness and the fullness of God because we're comfortable. We're content with just going through the motions. But I believe God wants this thing to overflow. I believe God wants this thing to spill out this morning. And whatever you have lack of, God wants to give you more than enough today. So don't go home. Don't sit in your seat with the mentality that this is how it's all. No. God wants to supersede your expectations this morning. God wants to do the mundane this morning. So before we ever go a step further, and then Brother Weir gets up here in this calm and cool attitude, and all of a sudden the Lord takes over. You see, sometimes we just got to throw the normal out the window and let God be who God says he wants to be. Because understand, if you're not going to let God move through you, God will find somebody else who realizes how good God's been to them. And he will have them come to a place where he can speak into them to get to us this morning. So I wish you, so Brother Weir began to talk, and the Lord began to move, and he kept on pulling, and he kept on pulling, and I said, God, keep on pulling. And I thought, Brother Weir, as you just stopped, I thought, man, God does things, crazy things, for his glory. And I thought, man, he's pulling this morning. He's trying to let somebody know that you can never outrun the love of God this morning. It doesn't matter what pit you may be in this morning, his love will find you in the pit. But he does want to keep you there. He wants to bring you out of your situation. And all that's fine, but I thought, Brother Weir, there's going to come a day that we're going to long to be in the service like this. And understand, God doesn't go back and do things the same way. There'll never be another service like this. I don't care if it's, you'll never have another service like this. There's going to come a day, Brother Weir, that some people hear in the sound of my voice, you're going to wish that I can go back to that day. I wish I had one more opportunity to feel his love, one more time to experience grace. Why not seize the opportunity now? Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm not talking about tomorrow, but now. Let's get it done today. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can get the Holy Ghost today. If you've never been baptized, we can baptize you today. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day of salvation. I'm going to choose this day whom I'm going to serve. Make up your mind that today has to count for something. Lord, I tried my best. I told somebody, I said, man, I hope I don't preach today. I hope these folks who mind the Lord, let the Lord have his way. But I guess you're going to deal with me for the next couple minutes. That's all right. All right. Would you lift your hands one more time here this morning, this evening? And I would pray that your prayer will be, God, open up my heart today. Open up my heart to understanding, God, that you've got something prepared for me today. The table has been spread. And today, God, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to dine at the master's table. This is not This is not, God, this is not a normal day. This is a special day that you've handpicked for me to be here today. And today I'm going to get everything, God, that you have for me. Why don't you turn around and tell your neighbor, God loves you today. And if you mean that, John chapter 21, if you have the word of the Lord this morning, we are honored to be here with our friends who we don't get a lot of time to spend together like we used to. Years ago, we had all kinds of time to spend together. We couldn't get away from each other. We was always eating and talking and traveling, but now God seemed to shake up plans, and I'm traveling, he's traveling, he's helping, and he's doing this, he's building buildings, and he's doing all this stuff. So whenever we get time to get together, man, we try to have a good time. But I thank God for friends. So you'll know who your friends are when tough times come. Everybody love you on the mountain, but when tough times come, I want to hang around with people like that, Brother Bo, that when times get tough, I can depend on them, that they'll give God a prayer for me in Jesus' name. I want you to know, folks, I love you today. I love you. And I'm going to preach today, if that's all right. I think this is my last sermon that I know of this year. So I'm just going to preach it all today, if it's all right with you. Somebody say amen. John chapter 21, verse number 3. Somebody say amen. And the word of the Lord says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye no meat? You've been fishing and you have nothing. They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Do something that you're not used to doing. Don't you cast net on this side. You've been toiling on this side, and it's just been normal. It's been the normal a day, but do something different. Cast it on this side, and we know what happened. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. When you're there, say amen. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. You're not normal. You're not like everybody else. You don't talk like everybody else. You don't think like, because you're peculiar. I've even heard people say you're weird. You're crazy. You don't act normal. We're not used to this kind of stuff. Peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him. Why? Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were a people, but are now the people of God, which have not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want to minister to you today on just this simple thought. We'll combine together. When normal wants you back. When normal wants you back. Let's all pray. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that's in this house. I thank you for the Spirit of God that's moving in this place today, God. You've come to bind up the broken heart. You've come to set the captive free today. And I would pray, God, for the next couple minutes that you minister to me. God, I need your help. I'm nothing without you. I need your help today, God. Make up for my shortcomings, God, that you'll be glorified here in all things. And we pray that in Jesus' name we pray. Would you turn around and give somebody a high five as I'm going to help that preacher preach? And if you mean what you said, you can be seated. If not, you can remain standing so we can know who you are today. Amen. When normal wants you back. Amen. God specializes in changing lives. Amen. I just feel like saying this afternoon to somebody, that it doesn't matter where you may find yourself today, God has a purpose for your life this afternoon. It doesn't matter if the person beside you knows the dirt in your life. God has a plan for your life today. God has a purpose for your life today. That's the reason why you're sitting on this pew today, is because God has handpicked you for such a time as this. Amen. You may not be eloquent in speech. You may not be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life today. Can we say amen? So we're preaching to you about when normal wants you back. Amen. I can remember so vividly that when COVID-19 had elapsed, I can remember people saying, Brother Brunion, are we ever going to get things back to normal? I can't wait till life goes back to normal. I miss the old paths. I miss when we used to do things this way. I wish we'd ever stop and just get back to going back to normal. Can I just pause and tell Breaking Bread that going back to normal is not a part of God's plan for the church today? It is not God's plan for us to go back to three songs and hear a fancy sermon and going home the same way we came. Amen. It's not part of God's plan for us to gossip and complain. It's not a part of God's plan for us to sit in pews and pretend God owes you everything. It is not God's plan for us to go through the motions in one day and out one day, but God is looking for committed people. People who say, Lord, I want to be committed for the long haul. Amen. Turn around and say, somebody, you got to be committed. Tell somebody with all of you got to be committed today. The thing we struggle with in the last days is there is a lack of commitment. Amen. Notice the Bible says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If you're going to walk on streets of gold, if you're going to walk on streets of gold and see the blessings of God, it's going to take a commitment. Hear me today. Hear me, somebody, today. You may have walked in this building and stuck in a valley, stuck in situations you didn't get yourself in, but hear me today. I wish you lift up your eyes unto the hills and realize that God has a plan for your life, and it's not to die lost. It's not to go back to normal. Can I tell you that going back to depression is normal? Going back to anxiety is no, it's not God's will. But you've got to make up your mind today, God, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to complacency. I'm not going back to sin. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Oh, I'm not going back. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. But today, I can remember preaching a revival just some time ago, Brother Bowen. And the Lord got to moving, as God always does. And this one sister, man, she just took off running. Woo! You know how they do. And I remember somebody said, wait a minute. That's not normal. We're used to just sitting down and hearing a song, Brother Paul. That's not normal. Can I tell you, friend, that when we get to a place where we think we have arrived to the kingdom of God, when we get to a place where we think we've got God figured out, we've got the wrong mentality, I've come to tell you, I love being on services. Brother, when God starts moving and we can't pinpoint what was going to happen next, I don't want to ever get to a place where I've got God all figured out, because eye has not seen or ear has not heard. I don't know what God's up to, but I got revelation that he's always up to something. I've got revelation. If I can do my part, he'll do his part. I don't like going to people who've got everything figured out. I don't like going to churches where we think we've got everything figured out. We've got God in this box. And we know we're going to let him out the box. And when we're going to keep God in the box. We know where the preacher's going to preach. And we've got stopwatches so let us know when he's going to stop preaching. We've got this thing all figured out. We know when he's going to stop. And when he's not, because it's normal. This is, we go through the program. Can I tell you, I went to a church service one day, and one of their ministers said, "Brother Harper, here's your piece of paper." I said, "Son, I don't need a piece of paper. I've got my notes." He said, No, this is our program." That's okay. Let me get this thing figured out. He said, "This is what we always do." I said, "Okay." So I sat down, Brother Ray, in the front seat. I'm looking at the program. 11 o'clock service starts. 11:03, the first song's over. But I said, "There's no way." The second song starts at 11:03 and then ends at 11:05. I said, "Let me get down to where Brother Harper comes in." Brother Harper gets up at 11:30. 11:45, he gets an altar call. 12 o'clock, he's done. I looked at the guy and I showed him. I said, "Do you got the right speaker? Is this a Jesus name church?" And his reply was, "This is how we always do things." Let me tell you, friend, I don't want to ever come to breaking bread and we put a limitations on when God wants to move, and when God, come on, throw the program out the way. If we got to have one song, let's sing one song. If we don't have, let's not have no songs. But no matter what takes place, we can't go back to having church as usual. We can't go back to normality. You may want to sin, that's okay. But I got to have a move of the Holy Ghost, because somebody needs healed today and somebody needs delivered today. We can't do things as usual. We can't go back to normal. I got down. I said, "Lord, I can't wait to get to where Brother Harper steps up." Here I stepped to the microphone at 11:30. I gave him a text, and man, I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to obey the pastor of the house until. So we're preaching, I'm looking at the clock, and we're preaching, I'm looking at the clock. And I thought, I'm going to see just how true this program is. And could you be surprised, Brother Runyon? 11:45, I didn't have to call for musicians. Here they come. Here come the drummer man, and here come the keyboard man, and here come the praise team. But just a couple minutes before that, there was a sister in that church who said that she'd been hearing voices and she just wanted to be delivered. And there was another son. We had so many visitors in that house who need to be baptized in Jesus' name. We have people in that house who need the Holy Ghost. But we begin to put a label on when God can't move and when God cannot move. Amen. 11:45, in other words, we're saying, "God, it's time to shut the program down. People go home the same way they came." But there's something about Brother Hope you got to understand. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. 11:45, we kept preaching. 11:46, I kept preaching. 11:47, I kept preaching. 11:48, I kept preaching. 11:49, I kept preaching. And all of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And they filled the house with the, "I'm preaching." We can't be things as normal. We can't have church as normal. We can't go back. We got to have a demonstration of his grace. Clap your hands and praise him right now. Yeah. 11:48, I kept preaching. And my carnal mind kept saying, "Man, this is going to be one small check for you." But I told myself, "Brother Runyon, if I'm going to go out, I might as well go out with a bang." But I learned at 11:59, Brother Bo, that you can't put a price tag on a soul that's hurting. You can't put a price tag on somebody who's praying, "God, I need mercy today. I don't care if I have to preach sun up and sun down. I got to have demonstration, God. I can't just go to the motion to pretend. I can't go back to normal, Jesus." Peter was a fisherman. We knew that his granddad was a fisherman. We knew that his papa and his papa's papa, they were all fishermen. So in other words, things are already lined out for him to simply be a fisherman. It was like in Atlanta. You ever heard that? My dad was a Baptist preacher. I've already heard people all down my life say, well, because your dad's a preacher, you're going to be a preacher. Well, that was true to an certain extent. I'm not a Baptist preacher. And if you're here today and you're Baptist, I love you. But I'm not normal. I'm one of those crazy, bald-headed, don't care nobody think about him preachers. And I realized it was God who brought me out of darkness. It was God who saved my wretched soul. It was God who loosed the shackles of the chains. So excuse me if I offend you by my worship, because you don't know like I know the hell God's brought me out of. You don't know the situations that God stepped in when men said there's no way. The Holy Ghost stepped in. And I've come to tell somebody, the reason we act the way we do is because we're not normal people. We're not just anybody. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've come to preach to the redeemed today. Open up your mouth and say so. He brought you a long way. He's still working on you. You're not normal. You're not like everybody else. You may be weird. You may be crazy. But no matter what the case may be, he brought you out. He's tallin' and he's tallin' and he's catching nothing. Jesus said, listen, you've been working on that side for, you ain't got nothing. But take that old net you got, and I want you to cast it on the other side. Jesus, what are you talking about? I've been doing this for a long time. Cast the net on the other side. Can I tell somebody today that it's not the will of God for you to go back into depression? Come on, let's just call this thing what it is tonight. It's not the will of God for you to go back to anxiety, because that's the normal for your life. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody right now. I want to get right in your valley and help you realize that you're not just in this thing by yourself, but God is right in your valley. If you'll take a look, get your eyes off the depression. And if you realize he got you by the right hand and everything's going to be okay. He's right in the mud with you today. He's getting down dirty with you on today, because God has a plan for your life. But I've come to tell somebody, going back is not an option. Because too many times we become so complacent with the norm. This is how it's always going to be for my life. Whew. I'm always going to be a drug addict. I'm always going to be an alcoholic. Because this is all you know. This is all I know. But the moment you hear about mercy, the moment you hear about the love of God, it's something about that. It brings a little bit of extra hope into you, and your heart starts to beat again. Because now you're starting to realize that I'm out to my wits end. Where else can I go? Can I tell you that there's still hope in the midst of your misery? As long as you're still breathing on this Sunday morning, there's still a purpose and hope for your life. I've come to raise somebody from the spiritual dead and tell you, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. All hope is not lost. He's still... Come on, preacher, you can preach again. Come on, mom, you can live again. Come on, dad, you can worship again. Get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up out of depression. Get up out of that sin. Say, so you are a peculiar people. Point your finger at your neighbor. Say, so you're a peculiar people. In today's world, they would call us weirdos. So point your neighbor at your finger. Now hold on. Let me backtrack, because what you're about to say is you're gonna have faith. Because you may point at them with the left finger, and brother, they may give you a right hook. Maybe that was the reason why Brother Runyon said we all need to repent. So point your finger at the one beside you with a smile and say, "You weirdo." Point your one at the other beside you and say, "You're a weirdo." You know why you're a weirdo today? It's because he brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous life. You know why I'm a weirdo on this Sunday morning? Because drugs don't fill my spiritual appetite no more. I don't have a hunger for the things of this world. I'm different now. I look different. I talk different. I think different. Call me crazy. Call me a weirdo. But he brought me out and he's still working on my life. And no matter what comes my way, I'm not going back. It's all about the press in you. You've got to have a press. You've got to have a determination. You've got to endure to the end. So when tough times come, get revelation. I'm still moving. I'm not going back. Normal is not an option for you. Let me preach to somebody today. If you're here today, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, you can get the greatest gift all right now. It's Christmas time. This won't cost you nothing. You can't find this gift on Amazon. You can't do, what is it called? Pick up later. You better get this thing right now. Old songwriter said, "I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me." Can I tell you today, amen, that they came out of the upper room and notice what they said. "These men are acting funny. They're acting a little weird. They look like they're drunk, like they've lost their mind." But notice what the prophet said. "Wait a minute. Before you compare this with the world, let me put that accusation to rest. These are not drunken as you suppose." Let me tell somebody what this world needs to see, what Whiteland needs to see, what Breaking Bread needs to see is an outpouring of God's Spirit that will drive out every sin. It'll drive out every doubt. It'll clear your mind. It'll touch your heart. I wish somebody would stand on your feet and say, "Lord, whatever you do in this season, do it to me right now." You may say, "Preacher, this is not me. This is not me." Let me tell you, I don't care how far you're falling, God's here to pick you up today. Woo. I don't care, friend, how many mistakes you made. As long as you're breathing, God still has a purpose and a plan for your life. You may not be a Sunday school teacher, and that's okay. You may not be a preacher, that's okay. But notice what Enoch had. He had this testimony that he had a walk with God, that he was raptured up by God. He had this testimony that he had a walk that pleased God. I've come to tell somebody today that you are God's apple of his eye. He knows exactly what you're going through this morning. But God said, "I'm still writing your story. And this is not how it's going to end. But I'm not calling you to go backwards. I'm calling you to move forward in Jesus' name." You may have some hurts, and you may have some wounds, and you may have some scars, but that's okay. That's just an indication that you're still living, that you survived the storm, you survived the attack, and God still has purpose for your life. The reason for the scars, ma'am. The reason for the wounds, sir. It's the fact that God still loves you. What could have destroyed you? What could have very well killed you? God stepped in with mercy and grace. People have run you down, scandalized your name. But Jesus said, "That's okay, because I'm going to use the ones who hurt you are going to turn around and bless you." The ones who said you'll never make it, they've got their eyes on you. Because what God is doing this. He's using you in the midst of your storm and the pain, he's using you as a billboard to let somebody else know, look what the Lord has done. And if I can do it for them, if I can cause a jailhouse rock in their life, if I can bankrupt heaven for them, if I can bring them out of darkness, if I can deliver them from drugs, if I can heal cancer, if I can put a life back together, look what I can do. I can still do it. I'm the Lord, and I change not. When the devil puts it in your common, God said, no, I'm still writing their story. I still got purpose for their life, and I want to use it, but they can't go back. No matter what happens today, can't go back. Can't afford to go back. Hear me, somebody in this house. You're here for a purpose. Let me tell you, don't just come here and stop. But friend, why not pull? You see, God is looking for people who are going to be committed to him. He's looking for the bride. He said, God, I don't want a divorce. Yes, God, I'm willing to go all the way. I'm willing all the way, God. I don't want to stop. God, I don't want to take a break. I don't want to relax on this marriage. But God, I'm willing to go all the way. Either you're going to commit yourself to him. I was reading this scripture the other day, and I thought, man, that's how people just say, well, I'm not ready. Or let me put the pieces of my life together, Brother Weir. Let me get this right here and this right here and this, and then I'll serve God. All the excuses in the world why we can't serve God. But there's going to come a day, you hear me? Let me tell you what God does. He gives each and every one of us that's here right now, every one of us. Look at a preacher that's not perfect. I hate to disappoint you. I've got faults and fears, man. I need God every single day. And listen, I'm not here to downcount your struggle. Struggles are real. I'm not here to downplay mental illness is real. Just a lady in our church just a couple weeks ago. I think the last time I saw my pastor, man, we baptized this young lady a couple weeks ago. Just last week, I was talking to him Sunday, preached in my home church for the first time. He said, you remember? So I said, yeah, I just remember. He said, we baptized her. Just, Brother Ryan, it was fresh. I'm talking about just a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. She got one morning and just said, you know what? Folks, can I tell you something? The reason why I tell people that you're not going to pray by yourself, because you need to know that there are people who are always praying for you. I know hell is real, I know the devil's real, hear me. But you hear me, he's not concerned about your worship. He's not concerned about your praise, because he knows you don't make a decision based on your praise. One thing is he's after the most. The one thing he wants to get the most is this, the thing he's fighting you right now. Because some of you think, well, I don't think I need the Holy Ghost. Or I don't think I want to see. Because he's fighting. Let him go, praise God. I don't let him do what they want to do. If I can get him right here where it hurts the most. Just preach a youth camp this. Let's all stand. I'm going to try my best to be that. Let's all stand. I just preached a youth camp this summer. There was a young girl. People were shouting. People were dancing. Young girl, she was 13 years old. So, you know, as an evangelist, you see those people weeping. So you lay your hands on her. Your hands are still down. Thinking, God, what's going on with her? What's going on? You got to help me out. What's going on? Well, she comes up to me, Brother Ryan, and she said, can I talk to you? She said, yes. So we moved way in the middle of everybody else. So we're looking at each other face to face. And she said, I don't think I want to live again. Okay. She said, because I've had some things happen to me that was not my fault. I didn't ask for the abuse. I didn't ask for that. Years she's carrying around the hurt, the pain. people in this building, you're carrying around the hurt and the pains of words of other people. You'll never survive. Your family never make it. You've got that thing, and God will never use you. Can I tell you that the devil's a liar? I don't care what pit you may find yourself in. That's not God's will for your life. I grabbed that girl by the hand like she was my baby. Brother Runyon, and we begin to cry. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me just as clear as I'm speaking to you. And said, "Why you got your arms wrapped around her? Why don't you pray for the peace of God to get into her mind?" I backed up. I said, I'm going to tell you, church. I said, "It's young people. I'm talking about all these young people. 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, young people who we thought that they just, no, young people deal with life as we do." I said, "How many young people in this building, you just fight things in your mind?" The whole congregation came to the front. Young people weeping and crying. God gave me direction in my mind. Because there's people hearing the sound of my voice. I know that it's real. I know the things that attack your mind are real. But you hear me, greater is he that's in you. God is greater than the distractions. And it's not God's will for you to go back today. But the writer said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press." Can I tell Breaking Bread Apostolic Church on this Sunday afternoon that you have experienced great revival yesterday? You've experienced great revival. Amen. When you, I can go back to the day that God put on a man's heart to plant a church. Man, you had some great revivals back then, my God. And the Holy Ghost said, "I'm not done. I'm going to give them another building." You guys built a building down the road, and I thought, man, can anything good come out of this? And look, you guys took that place where the devil said, "Can nothing happen?" And look, at people got a testimony that that was there that God found God. It was there God saved my soul. And God said, "No, I'm not done with him," because here's what happens. Every time the enemy comes in with a flood, God said, "No, I'm still writing that story." God said, "I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take a people of God who got a hunger for revival, and we're gonna put a church right in the middle of Whiteland." And can I tell you, you've had some great revivals, but I've come to let you know, as we get ready to enter into 2025, amen, the best is yet to come. You ain't seen God's greatest. You ain't seen God's greatest revival. This is not the time to settle for the Monday. This is not the time to go back to normal. But worship like you never had. Praise like you never had before. Prayer like you never prayed before. But more importantly, serve God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your spirit. So here's what I'm going to do right now in Jesus' name. That's not normal. Ooh, some of you looking like, "Boy, what's he doing?" Only crazy people act like that. Ooh. Only crazy people jump pews. Brother Jacob, I've seen those crazy. You know, before I got in church, I seen people roll the floor. Now that was crazy. And I've told myself, like a bunch of you, there ain't nowhere in the world I'm gonna do that crazy. Because the church I come from, come on now. You come in the church, you pull up your seat, you be quiet, test, dismiss time. Every now and then you may clap. Every now and then somebody might say something. But you don't get out of order. You get up, you go home the same way you came. No power. No anointing. No revelation. But then the Lord saw fit to bring this blonde head girl all the way from Illinois, all the way to California, and here I'm getting ready to get a basketball scholarship, and she interrupts all my plans. God, what are you doing? I'm about to get on the plane the next day to go to Mexico, and somehow I decide not to go. Somebody asked me the other day, "Are they still waiting on you?" I said, "Boy, that's a 1992. I hope not." So this little blonde head girl, she Kentucky. That's okay. I've always heard Kentucky has bluegrass. Let me see the bluegrass is about. So I go to Kentucky. Ain't found no bluegrass. Still looking. Stayed there. Couldn't find bluegrass. Well, 92, summer 92, she gets this big revelation. Revelation 99. She wants to go back to church. Okay, fine. No. She go to church. She come in one night crying.
Tears coming out of her face.
So I went to church. I heard a man preach the urgency of entry. Lord Hart, pastor of West Virginia, he preached it. Conviction said that. She said, I went to the altar. She said, I repented. She said, I began to speak in tongues. I got the Holy Ghost. She said, okay, what's all this? She said, man, she said, I love you, but if you don't want to go, up the hill to Kentucky, beautiful building. Parking lot's crowded. Sunday morning, it's hot outside. I got on them relaxed looking clothes. I'm just gonna go to just the peas. I make it feel good. Walked into a church. I'm looking around. Like, man, where's all the black people at? I know where I'm not supposed to feel comfortable here. Everybody's just, and we sitting there. I sat in the very back. I don't want to go no farther. I'm already upset now that I had to come to begin with. I'm sitting in the very back. And then this guy who's preaching, he's facing the wall, and he starts talking about it. He said, yeah, I remember back in the old slave days. And, oh, now he's really starting to get mad now. Oh, you know where I'm going. He said, I remember those black sisters. I'm thinking, man, when this service is over, me and him going to be in the parking lot, it's going to look good. He got to preaching. He got to preaching. But you know what? The more he kept preaching, tough guys don't cry. So she said, well, are you going to come back tonight? All the guys are nice. They were friendly, loving. Just putting on a big game. Put on a big smile. Yeah, fine, whatever. I'll come back tonight. Oh, I go back Sunday night. What a mistake. Getting there, I sat in my normal seat. Like normal. And all of a sudden, that lady hit that keyboard. And that drummer hit that drummer. All of a sudden, you thought, man, I was like, what is going on? Running around the church. So what in the world? What is going on here? These folks are crazy. People shouting, people dancing, people just rejoicing. And I wasn't, there was a couple other visitors, and I'm thinking, man, you got to be thinking what I'm thinking. These folks are crazy. We got to get out of this place. But people kept shouting, people kept rejoicing. But the thing that got me, Brother Weir, is they didn't care what this one thought about them, and they didn't care what I thought about them. I watched it. They run around the church and they shake me by. They run around the church and shake my head like they know me. They didn't know me for that. And I'm thinking, you don't know me. Why are you shaking my hand? But the more they shook my hand, they had a smile on their face, tears running down their face. And I heard some of them say, that was a day I was bound by drugs. That was a day I was bound by alcohol. That was a day I should be going to hell. But it reached way down. That's it. You gotta keep going. You gotta keep proud preaching to somebody on this Sunday afternoon. You can't go back to normal. You can't go back. You can't go back to addiction. You can't go back to sin. But we gotta keep moving forward. You gotta do things different. You gotta do different. Let me tell somebody today, if you need the Holy Ghost, you can get the Holy Ghost right now. I wish I had somebody on this Sunday morning. Say, Lord, I'm tired of sitting in the balconies. I'm tired of tending the cheap seats. But I'm getting down to where Jesus is. I'm going to do something that's not normal. I may have to shout a while. I may have to praise a while. I may have to run around the church. But I've got to do something that's not normal. Altar call time.
church and give a quick altar call. We're hurting at home. We got to get to the buffet line. I'm telling you what's going to take in these last days, folks. Listen, I was speaking to somebody outside. I thought, look at this Sunday school class. This morning was full. I thought, God, he's going to have to start. You tell him. I ain't going to tell him. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you tell him, because there's people who are going to come who is broken. You may not see it, but they're on the way. And they're not coming to be your best friend. They're not coming to shake your hand. They're coming because they heard that God delivered your soul. There's a God who heals cancer. There's a God who put lives back together. And when they come in this tabernacle, the question is, what will they find? So I've come to tell you, as I get ready to close on this Sunday afternoon, we can't have normal church. We can't have normal altar calls. Because when they come through those doors, they don't care what the preacher's preaching. They're coming to see how you respond to the God that you preach about. And I pray that when they come in this house, they don't find us sitting on seats, pretending everything's okay. I pray when they come into breaking bread, that they don't find dead, dry church. But I pray when they come into this tabernacle, they find sisters worshiping with sisters and saints of God praying with saints of God. I pray they see people crying and they see shackles falling off and they see the redeemed law. Wish you praise God right now. We're not going back to normal. We're not going back to shallow revivals. We're going to see the deep things of God. We're going to see the greatness of God. And it starts right now. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open this altar. Here's my prayer. I pray that when you, somebody say he's, be careful. Everybody's not going to say that because you don't want to participate. Tell somebody he's counting on you. Here's my prayer. I pray that when you come around this altar right now, hear me, that we just don't become robots. But I pray that when you come around this altar, that you do something that's just not your DNA. Because I've seen people that when they come around the front, people will pass them by because they expect them to stand there. But I've seen people around the front after about 3 or 4 nights of revival, they're clapping their hands, and I've seen people look at them like, well, what's going on here? When did they break the box? When did they just say, okay, God, let it flow? God is looking for that kind of end time revival. People who will say, God, here, I'm going to break the box. So I'm going to open the altar. I'm going to open this altar. Come on, you can come. You don't have to wait. I'm going to open this altar. Because whatever you need, it's right here. But you only get out of it what you put into it. I didn't come to preach to the robots, but I've come to let breaking bread know on this Sunday afternoon that there's a great revival in the bosom of this church, and you're going to see great things happen, but you can't go back.